At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
One of the things when I was given the chance to do this afternoon show, because normally I'm on later and we get a bit rockier and heavier because we go normally to the West Coast or the East Coast, but it was the opportunity to bring some live guests into the studio. And as you know, when I do my shows normally, you know, you get, I don't know, 20 minutes or something with them. So this was an opportunity to bring some friends in and kick the ball about. And if you like, take it a little bit further than we had. Now, one of the guests I had in a little earlier in the year was a guy who I'd met at a function, because hey, and I'm dressed in a I'm doing a function this evening, so I'm dressed in my black tie, and I met him at one function, and he'd been doing some art, and that was fine. I just sort of nodded at him, and then in the car park at the next time in the Villa Tiberia, we're doing a thing for children with cancer, and he came over and started talking to me, and I was like, oh wow, man, you speak fluent English. I thought you were Spanish. And he said, well yeah, my name is Monty, etc. And we started chatting, and then I realized that we had an awful lot in common, but if I am second division, this gentleman is Premier League, nay, Champions League, a man who has absolutely turned his life around, but done it with a sense of humour and a sense of humility as well. Delighted to say that joining me back in the studio is Monty Este. Monty, how are you, my friend?
Hey, thank you very much for having me here. And Giles, it's a pleasure for me, really, to be here, to be sharing this time with you. And yes, thank you for the opportunity.
No problem at all. How you're adjusting into Marbella, into the Costa del Sol life, aren't you? Into Spanish life now. You're getting your daughter's come over. You've been having a good time. It's, you know, everything is sort of falling into place.
Yeah, everything is falling into place. I just cannot accustom to the siesta thing. It's too hard for me. I like to sleep at night time. You know, I cannot do it. But anyway, we're getting there.
Yeah. Now last time, just let's do the Monte Este 101. One, as they say, because some will know you from your amazing art. Some will know you from the social media and the messages you're putting out there. Some will know you from the book, The Hope Dealer, which is currently out in Spanish. So for those who don't know, who will miss the first interview, it's been quite an interesting life, hasn't it, thus far?
Yeah, it's been such a ride that I'm actually grateful, but a lot of people knows you now for the thing that you have accomplished, yeah, but not many people really knows the struggle behind that, you know, and it's very easy for people to talk about the victories and all that stuff, and it's empowering and inspiring for people, but sometimes we should talk about our struggles as well, you know, our difficult times when we were perhaps needing help and support from people, and that's when actually life start to teach you a lot of stuff, you know, when...
I mean, you come out of Colombia. That's where you were born. You had, as we said before in the previous show, there were problems with the law. You spent time in prison in Australia and also in America as well.
Yep.
You turned your life around. You didn't become one of those another statistics. And you're now, as I said before, a successful painter. You've come to Spain. You have written this amazing book. But it is an interesting one, isn't it? It's the way that people's perceptions of those who have come from, should we call it a different place?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and they, so for example, I mean, I know this is radio and they can't see you, but we're basically practically twins. I mean, honestly, you know, obviously, no, really. Monty works out a bit. He's in really good physical shape. Few tattoos, from Colombia. People will see you and think, oh my goodness, especially here on the Costa, they'll think, oh my goodness, he's one of those bad boys that we should keep away from. And that must be interesting for you, challenging, frustrating, or
no,
do you like to subvert people's opinions?
I actually like, you know, because in my case, it's like people put a label on everybody, you know, like, and when you get to get this label on you, like intimidating, tattoos, tall, actually I'm bald. So he looks like, here we go, like this is an ex-criminal or criminal indeed. And when people has that label on you and they actually get to know you, that misconception is totally like broken down, you know, because maybe I look something, but I am not the same thing that they thinking about, you know what I mean? So, and it's good because they have that label already. And once I start talking, they go like, wow, that's inspiring. You know, I like that story, or they get the chance to get to know me and to know the drive that I have, you know, like for life, because I think that's another thing that people, especially here in the Costa del Sol, everybody puts a label on everybody.
Mm.
You know, and really we don't know what's behind that facade that we have. So, yeah, but I think it's not frustrating at all. It's actually a plus, to be honest.
Well, the thing is, because we live in a world where people put labels on people and then they go, okay, so you're that and that's, you're that for life. You're never going to change. You're always going to be that. And therefore, you know, I have made my decision in the first 2 seconds of seeing you or seeing that person or seeing that homeless person or seeing that person who's got a problem with an addiction. And they're always like that. And in English, we have the saying, you know, the leopard cannot change its spots. It cannot change its markings. And you know, that can be a little frustrating for people.
It's frustrating for people, but, man, sometimes, like, we are very easy to judge people, you know, and we are not as quick to actually step back and think, how come this person is like that? Or how come he ended up being like that? For example, here you can see a lot of homeless people, a lot of people that is on drugs. And you don't need to be poor to be a drug addict. You can have a Ferrari and be a drug addict. But sometimes we should just stop back and see, like, or try to find out. If you have time to make a comment on somebody, have the same time to stop and consider asking what's their story.
Mm.
I think that's more interesting, you know, than just going all in like, oh, I think this about you. And man, the person perhaps just went through a marriage, a divorce, and he lost his business, he lost his focus, and he ended up in drugs, and that's it. You know, life is super quick.
They always say, isn't it? The thing was always, you know, every homeless person is was it 4 missed checks away from losing their house if you got a mortgage. And the same with an addiction. If you can carry on the party a little bit longer, and the next thing you know, you are caught in that vice, and it's very dark and it's very difficult to get out of.
Yeah, well, I have a couple of conversations with like a lot of homeless people because I like to do that because I was in a very similar path, you know, in a very similar situation. And man, the stories that you actually hear about are quite amazing and quite quick that everybody can just end it up like that, you know? Like, I remember one time that I was talking to somebody and the guy spoke like 4 or 5 languages and he was very educated. And man, he lost his whole place, his whole life, just because of a bad guy that he was doing business with.
Mm.
He lost it all. His wife didn't want him without money and he ended up on the streets. So
yeah, I spent some time with a friend who ended up in a prison in the UK, and I went to see them, and it was really their whole life changed by a bad word being spoken and on a night out and everything escalating and a punch being thrown and the victim landing on the side of the road and hitting his head on the curb and being dead. And in that one night, in literally in the 5 minutes it took for that conversation to escalate, their whole life changed, and they spent a time in. And so you can't say, oh well, these people, they deserve, you know, they, you know, we're better than that, because that would never happen to us. Yeah. Because I mean, had you and I met 10 years ago, that would have been dangerous. But if, you know, you and I could have got out to Puerto Banús, had an argument, something could have happened, and like that, the life can change. And that's perhaps one of the things that we learn in our kind of journeys.
Totally. Well, talking about that, you know, it just came to mind. The day that I got arrested, it was something like that. I was never expecting to be such a dramatic change in my life. I was the same, very, like, criticizing people and just being a total
idiot.
Yes. Yeah, that's the word. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I know. My finger was on the button there.
And Man, and I remember that day, everything was going fine. I get to my house and everything was well. Then it's like 20 AFP, Australian Federal Police, in my house. They rock up to my house. They opened it. They were inside the house. They were like searching for everything. They sat me down. And man, if my life changed that quick, anything really can happen. I met people in prison that they were there for just hitting somebody while they were text messaging. And they killed it. They killed the person. So life can really change in a dramatic way in just a second, you know?
Here's the thing, is a lot of people think that it's because you are, you know, you do the social media and you look great. You've got the motorbike, the whole thing, the painting and everything, is that it's really easy. And your life now is this beautiful, smooth plane. You know, there are no sort of bumps and rocks on the road that you travel. But the really interesting thing is, because I've seen a bit of this as well, not with you but other people, is it's all very well to be a coach and to be an influencer and to give your life, you know, to put your thoughts and your theories about how to live your life. But life has this really strange trick of testing you and going, here you go, have some of that. And the trick is to A, stay on the path, yeah, to keep going to the bits that have kept you going thus far. And also, yeah, you have to recognize them and realize them and say to people who you're mentoring or who you're describing or writing about, it's not going to be that, you know, life will still go on. There will still be muck-ups. I said muck-ups in the way, but the trick is to keep just not go back to the way you were.
Exactly. Well, in my case, even though I went through a very difficult time in my life because of my bad decisions, I think one of the things that I learned in my difficult and dark times was just to love. And that love was the love of my daughter. I always kept that focus on her. And that's pretty much what brought me out of that place as well, apart from my beliefs that are very important. But knowing that even though I was going through a difficult time, I have the opportunity to develop myself, to become a better father, to write a story in order for me to inspire my daughter and to show her with actions, not just words, that even though life throws you a curve, you can kick and get a home run, you know, like, but I cannot just teach that to my daughter just with words, and I have to make it happen. So from day one, I started just learning what do I have to learn, what do I have to do in that little place that I was set, you know, like I didn't have much distraction. I had the opportunity. I have food on my table. I have a roof. I have my laundry done. And I had the best security in the world, obviously, because I was in prison. but I think life is interesting. You might think that my life at the moment is quite on a plateau, but as a normal human being, I have my ups and downs daily. Sometimes you wake up super motivated. Sometimes you wake up a little bit lost, you know. But even though you might fall down on the floor, it's not how long you stay on the floor. It's how quick you stand up again and fly again.
I used to call it, I call it the grind. I call it the grind. It's like you get up and it's like gray and your leg hurts and my knees go off because of the years of playing bad sport. And the bill hasn't been paid and the car's not working and I'll give myself 5 minutes of but then you have to remember that no matter how bad you've been, this is today, it's better than it was, than it used to be. And you always got to remember that thing, because before you couldn't cope with even sort of getting out of bed.
Yeah, you know, it is funny that you're talking now about that. Like people say, "Oh, don't remember your past because that's already in the past." But I really think that we as human beings, we can never forget the story behind and in the present. The future is something that we cannot talk. We can imagine it. We can create it in our imagination, and perhaps start building it from our actions now. But man, I always look back to my darkest time, my happiest times, and Even though we might struggle, I have in my book, it's actually one of the exercises, is I call it the treasure box.
Treasure box.
And that treasure box is a box where all the things that you use in the past to overcome an obstacle, are your displays. The thing is that they're on a box. You have to open the box, go back to them, get, for example, what motivated you when somebody passed away, or the happiness that you felt when you bought your first car, or when you got a present, and guard yourself with this armor of motivation, of inspiring moments that you had, and just go over, because it's not something that you don't have. It's something that you already used. You just forgot how to use it.
And I just like the thing about that you can't forget your past. It's like I remember saying to somebody during the last sort of 2 years when I was in my dark place, it was like I said, oh, I don't even remember that. And when you've got friends like mine, they go, don't worry, Giles, we remember. We were there. Trust us on this one. And when somebody comes up to me and goes, and I can't remember them, and they go, ah, you were the crazy guy. And it's like, ah,
here we go.
let me explain. How important is it? Because we get distracted, don't we, during life? And it's like, especially here, because it's like, oh, there's a guy with a Lamborghini. There's a guy with a, you know, with the beautiful girlfriend. There's a guy with a, you know, on the social media with all the money. It might not be his. And we've kind of mucked up our perception of what's good. You just said the important things, roof on your head, food on the table, the love of your daughter, which is a relationship you've rebuilt.
Yes.
You know, because that's the thing they don't tell you about, is it? Because you think you've lost that sort of people forever, and then they come back in your life. But these are the important things. Now, all the other stuff is just, yeah, great if it happens, but...
Well, I'm going to say something. I really hope that is a lot of men out there that they think they got it all worked out, and perhaps they just remember now they have kids, and perhaps they have loved ones somewhere, and they have... They think that they have dug a big hole and a hole that they can never go back. And I'm going to inspire everybody just to go back, because that's exactly what I did with my daughter. I left my daughter when she was 6 months old. After that, it was just all drugs and rock and roll, just crazy all over the place. I went to Philippines, Thailand, to Singapore, to Miami, to Las Vegas.
The Monty Esting World Tour.
That was like, man, the Hangover movie. I did it every single one, the 1, 2, and 3, and perhaps worse, unreal. And anyway, everything was just a mess. And every time I wanted to just reach out and try to connect with my daughter, all these haunting memories will just come, like, oh, you're a piece of crap, you are bad, you're not a good father, look what you've done. And I really think that one of the things that really helped me out was my beliefs, just believing that I do have a father that loves me. I believe in God, so sorry if everybody doesn't call him God, it's fine. I'm not going to argue with anyone. But that belief actually helped me to thrive, to become a father, and just picturing in my head, just believing that I will have the opportunity to be with my daughter. And man, she's living here now in Spain for the last 7 months. We have a great relationship. I can go and pick her up, have an ice cream, go to the movies, just send anything, a flower to her, or just start building up that relationship. I cannot just keep going with the regret or the resentment of all the things that I did, but I have the opportunity to just be a father.
Here's the thing, okay? Because we live, and we, you know, you're younger than me, but we grew up in an age before social media, before smartphones. Yeah, and so we had our ideas that were written down from, I don't know, Terminator movies, Schwarzenegger, and, you know, Van Damme were our models of masculinity. Okay, and now sort of young men are seeing models of masculinity on their smartphones. You know, this really toxic stuff, and they think that it's maybe that's beaming straight from somebody who wants to get like 80 million. Hits on their thing so they can monetize it. But it's actually very destructive. And you're you, and you've got a teenage daughter, and it must be one of the messages you must be trying to get off as get across as somebody who had the cars, the girls, the, you know, the mansions, the fun-loving criminal lifestyle. Surely, and now has a daughter who you love and look after. You must be ultra sensitive to putting the message to young men that it's not cool to be that kind of swagger, gangster type thing. Because a lot of young men will think that the life is like a rap video. You get sentenced by the judge, and then everybody gives you a round of applause, and you go home, and you don't, you go down.
No, that's not the message, really. Like, one thing that I have, and I think that everybody that has been through crime and prison and has faced the weight of justice, and if he wants to make a change, the wrong message that we can send is that the life that they think it is not, man. When I was in prison, I remember I used to hang out with a lot of people when I was out, and I used to pay for parties. I have the drugs and all this stuff. And when I really needed the people to support me with a letter, they'd all call back to the prison to cancel my phone calls to them. Every single person that I thought that would support me, they let me down. The only people that stayed there was my family and a couple of friends that were not even partying with me. Apart from that, the life is just false, man. Like, when you think that you're having a great time, people don't hang out with you because of who you are. It's just because of what they can get from you, you know? Mm. And now that I'm not saying that I'm poor, I'm not saying that I'm rich, but I can say that I am content. I have the love of my daughter next to me. And besides me teaching a lot of people or youngsters about, you know, what a man is, I am teaching that to my daughter. I am teaching her, like, how a man should treat her, how a man should love her, how a man should, like, support her. And I'm doing this with intention, because I want her to make the right decisions for herself and for this person as well. So to all the young men out there, they really got it wrong. And I cannot blame them. I can blame the old men, like you, like I, because we are lost as well, brother. We want them to be perfect, but we haven't told them to be a man. So,
yeah.
How's that? Yeah.
And you gotta do the actions. It's all very well putting the finger.
We can always,
the words are always great, but what we get told is like, yeah, okay, words are great, but you gotta do the actions. And those are the hard yards.
Exactly. Like, I remember when you just say that, and somebody told me once that every time you put a finger on somebody, there are three fingers pointing at you. And I thought about it, and I was like, wow, that's true. And yeah, another inspiring moment for men out there. Like, man, if you can mentor one or two guys around you to become a better man, your future and my future will appreciate it, because they're the ones that are going to build the future of this world, you know?
The book. The Hope Sealer, right? So you hadn't written a book before, had you? You hadn't done any proper writing like this before?
No. Well, actually, because I said to you, once I got arrested, a big change happened in my head. And from that moment on, I started writing my story with my actions. But it took like maybe a year or two after I got released to actually put all the things that I've done, that I did, into a book. And the main thing and the purpose of the book is not just to be famous or whatever, because I don't really care. It's all about just inspiring all the people that no matter what they're going through in life, they can actually overcome it. And it's never too late. That's why it's called Hope Dealer.
Yeah.
Because if you breathe, you always have hope. And hope is the last thing that you will lose, you know? So before I used to deal with drugs, now yeah. I am a hope dealer, because my beliefs and my Jesus is what has given me that hope, you know, just to keep up, to stay in the fight.
When you walk into to a church or a gathering or a young people's group and you start talking about this, do you ever get those moments where you go, this is weird, I can't believe how I got here, but actually this is pretty cool?
Well, you know what? It's quite funny, because a lot of people go like, oh, that's inspiring. But then in the other hand, you see the kids wanting to be criminals still. Like, my, I'm not a criminal anymore. Like, don't look at me like I am, you know, a bad guy. I used to be a bad guy. Now I'm telling you the good news about that is not the life, you know? And yeah, it is funny, because sometimes they're like, oh, they touch your arms and you know, the tattoos, and what does this mean? And where did you get that one? And when I tell the story about the tattoos, they get even crazy, because the tattoos were done in prison with using oil from a tuna can. And it's a whole story. It's funny. You take risks in life. And I remember one time when I was getting tattooed in my chest, by one guy that the only thing that he could do is he used to say to me, Monty, I cannot tattoo if I am not high. I need to be high as a kite
That's good.
In order for me to get tattoos. I was like, Yeah, I thought the same one. Like, maybe not. Maybe this is a bad idea. Maybe I keep it. Let's do it with markers first to see how it goes. You were like, no, let's get it. And he started like freehanding, boom, 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 getting tattooed. The needle, we used to get it from, you know, the metal brushes?
Yeah.
From the metal shop?
Yeah.
Somebody would like smuggle one in, then we cut it, then we sterilize it just to get the point, yeah, to sharpen it. We used to put a little grinding paper on a fin. We turn it on, and then we started grinding the point. And then the motor, we will get it from a Disman. Oh, bro, it's just like crazy. But it is a story to tell, you know? Like, why not?
Yeah. Well, what's the reaction to the book been like then? I mean, what's the reaction to... It's been going well. People have been loving. I mean, and obviously, because listen, every time I go to your socials, there's more stuff coming on. There's more people following you. There's more talks and whatever going on. So, how has your life and your journey changed since the Hope Dealer came out? And will it be coming out in English soon?
Yeah, it is actually become. I'm working on it to get it into English. So far, it's been like very rewarding. Like, I really believe that my struggles have been like worth it. Like, it's not that I will do jail again to get a second book, but because
I'm going in for research. Yeah,
no. But I think when you tell a story from your heart, it actually connects with people because, as you say, there's a lot of people out there like being influencers and 21 year old or 20 year old kids telling people how to live lives, and I'm like, what do you know about life, son? Like, really? Like, you're still living with mom and dad, and what can you tell me about life? And it's not that the message is not strong enough. It's just like it lacks scars. It lacks, you know?
Yeah.
Show me the battle. Like, how you show me your battles with your scars, you know? Like, you can talk about a lot of stuff that you have experienced, but if you haven't, you cannot do it. Like... And for me, in my case, it's been very rewarding. I tell a story about my father. He was abusive with my mom. I have a lot of resentment and hatred towards him. And at the end of his life, we actually made peace and I forgave him. He forgave me. And just to restore the relationship with my father just before he passed away, I think it's something that actually helps others with their relationship with their parents or mom or dad or whoever. And when you tell a story, yes, as I say, from your heart, it actually resonates with the pain that whoever is going through, you know?
What's your plan for the summer then? More art, more speaking, more, am I going to see more galas for charity? Like we would bump into each other?
Like I was about to actually do a painting now for Collective Calling on the 6th of the 7th. I think the 7th of June. And it's a bummer because I'm going to a spiritual retreat for like 3 days into the mountains. And that's a way for me to reconnect. I actually I'm starting to organize a 3 day actually spiritual retreat here as well for all men. Like whoever really wants to get challenged with their character and just wants to reconnect and disconnect and reconnect with who they really are themselves, I think is something really good. So that's why I'm going to Valencia. And yeah, we're just going to keep doing more art, just like helping out the best we can. And just always, I don't like to make many plans. I like to flow.
You like to be flexible. You know?
I remember always that I say that. I remember Bruce Lee. Remember that he says, like, you have to be like water. I was like, wow, well, let's be like water then.
If anybody's listening to this and they're, I'm not saying they've got an addiction, but, you know, they've got some issues and they're maybe feeling a little bit not right with the world. You know, that something's not quite right with them. They think they can, because you feel it under your skin. Mm. What advice, you know, apart from maybe getting in touch with you, what advice would you give them, Monty?
Well, the best advice that I could give to somebody that is doing their heads in and thinking about stupid stuff like suicide and stuff like that is just to reach out to people, man. Just eat your pride as men. Just be vulnerable. Obviously, be wise to whom you show your vulnerability. And just reach out. If it's through here, I am willing to help out anybody that I can. To spend some time with them, to have a coffee, a conversation or whatever. But I really think that that's what is lacking in men. Like, the statistics don't lie. Numbers don't lie. The amount of men that commit suicide is way higher than women. So that's what I really think, that there is something going on with us. And man, the only thing that I can advise is just to reach out right now, get your phone, call and speak with somebody. Obviously, don't become a victim and call every time you just feel down a little bit. Just call if you're really feeling down, because now it's easy to call, oh, feeling bad. Every day, might just grow up. Just, you know, just get 2 spoons of concrete and just carry on with life, might. Because seriously.
If people wanna find you on the social media or on the web, where's the best place to start a conversation or just see what you're doing?
On Instagram, you guys can follow me on monty.este. It's monty.este. And yeah, that's the best way to reach me, or Arts by Monty on Instagram as well, where I show my paintings. If anybody is interested in a painting,
they are quite something.
Or
quite
a something. Coaching session, or just to talk. Yeah. That's the main thing. So,
listen, thanks for taking the time to speak to me today. I wanted to get you back in because we had such a good conversation, and it's important to talk about these things because so many guys are out there just like flailing around, a little bit lost. Monty Este, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much to all of you and to you guys for having me here. Have a great weekend.